Hello and welcome to Hot Yoga Radio, also known as Down the Canal with Anna and Pete. Mm-hmm. And our ramblings about many things. And today is a little bit of a wild card again, a bit of an aside. We have been watching the TV series called Vikings, probably us and half the rest of the world. Quite inspired by it, actually. I do like the way that it doesn't give you a rosy picture of them in any way whatsoever.
They were nutters.
They really were pretty awful.
Yeah.
And there's been many things that have inspired me and made me think, you know, about their world and what they valued, mm-hmm. and why they valued that particular way of being and way of life that's different to ours, and how much their life was different to ours, and how they were on the brink of a new world, and everything that they did or experienced almost when they went travelling was new. And when they crossed the sea, they didn't know what they were going to find.
No.
So this quote that I'm about to play, we recorded from one of the episodes, and the man who's saying this, they're on a ship sailing off for a new adventure. And this bloke, if you asked any of the other people who he's come into contact with, pretty much 90% of whom he has hacked to bits, probably after raping them and their children. He's an awful man. Awful. But at the same time, he has this quality of character, which I'm not going to say is attractive. It's not attractive. It's actually quite inspiring. This is just a little quote there where he's being asked, what is it that he wants? So he's being asked what he values. And this is what he says. And I hope you can hear what he's saying.
Why did you go into the wilderness? You had something to prove. So do I.
What do you want to achieve?
My brother loves fame more than I do. For me, I just want to live. I want to live with the greatest intensity. I want to feel every moment of my life, as long as it lasts. I want to be more than just alive, if you understand me.
Oh, I do.
So I want to feel every moment that I'm alive with the greatest intensity.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought as we have gone through the this series, this could be a complete romantic idea about the Vikings, possibly, but it would sort of explain a lot about them and why they did what they did. Is that what they valued?
Yeah.
Actually, truly being alive.
Yeah.
Even in the, you know, that's why they were so kind of fearless in battle.
Yeah.
And just so ready to just romp into anything.
Yeah.
With, like, you know, reckless and childlike abandon.
Yeah.
In a sense.
Yeah. This is the popular idea of Nietzscheanism, even though it would be a bit inaccurate. But what you could say that they were. The pre-Christian Vikings were Dionysian.
Liked their mushrooms a lot.
They liked their mushrooms. They loved intoxication. They were like shag happy. It's quite interesting the way it's depicted in the series, which of course it is a fiction, but nevertheless quite interesting that the women are pretty strong.
Yeah.
They go and fight in battle as well, and they shag who they want.
Yeah, and they become rulers of the various earldoms and towns and cities and things.
Well, what goes along with this, of course, is they love fighting. Yeah. They love battle as well.
Yeah.
And but definitely this is a Dionysian view. And it seems that the Indo-European tribes, which covered most of Europe, Mediterranean, and off down into India, in the dim and distant past, were in fact like Dionysians. You know, they valued intensity of life. And by the same token, they disvalued fear and timidity and a lack of a spirit of adventure. I think according to Nietzsche, you know, this is indeed to be celebrated, this sort of boldness and life affirmation. Because this is what it is, isn't it? Saying, well, it's hard, it's violent, it's intense, it's painful. But we're going to say yes to it. We're just still going to say yes to it.
Yeah.
And I think whoever wrote the scripts for that thing was alert to this Nietzschean theme.
Yeah.
You know, but it's probably reasonably true that they did. Have the values ascribed to them that we've just ascribed to them. Now, it is probably true that they were in fact like that.
Because if you look at their mythology and the gods, the gods that they had, and what they thought their gods valued, and you know what was going to happen after they died, it was sort of support that you know, we value intensity of being alive. Yeah. And you know, really living every moment. That is what they valued.
I mean, it's interesting that they were polytheistic, like the ancient Indians, like the Celts, like the Greeks, like the Romans, and all the German tribes were similarly in the polytheistic, and the Nordic tribes. And the thing about these, that style of religion, is it does lend itself to this life affirmative attitude, because the gods are not enforcers of morality.
No, there's absolutely no sanctimonious kind of rules
and timidity.
No.
Yeah. Rather, the gods are like a bit like us, but more so.
Yeah.
You know, they fight, they squabble, they fornicate.
Yeah.
They engage in treachery and
it's
loyalty.
Like their gods just had a really good time.
Yeah.
And it's like they're encouraging their worshippers to have a good time too.
Yeah. But they also do the thing of being quite mischievous. I mean, the Greeks had this idea, but all the polytheistic ancient religions had the idea that we were a bit like the gods' soap opera. And when they were bored, they'd sort of toy with us and set up situations to see how we'd cope for their entertainment. You know, this is why you have to have sacrificial religion. Because okay, the gods are your gods, but they will fuck with you if they feel like it.
Yeah.
They're quite anarchic.
Yeah.
You know.
And, so there's not none of this unconditional love business.
Yeah. So there was this. Use of human sacrifice, which again all across the ancient world in the polytheistic religions, human sacrifice has been sort of quite common, because you have to give the gods something to get them off your back. You know, just as much as to get them to grant you some good luck. And I suppose it was like the job of the votary or the worshipper was to be like the gods, to have that intensity, to have that full amplitude of life and that kind of craziness of life.
Yeah. So instead of kind of restricting yourself and holding yourself in and, you know, turning the other cheek and not being angry and not seeking revenge and stuff like that, which of course is quite good, because peacefulness, brilliant, you know, I'm a big fan of peace.
Yeah.
But the Vikings, their gods, they were warriors, they were fighters, as you said, they were... They were very mischievous, very passionate, very destructive, very creative.
I mean, now it's a kind of toshy TV thing, and it's utterly gripping.
But it makes you think, though.
Makes you think, yeah. And I think there is actually a very profound question at the bottom of this, and it comes from the fact that we do want that intensity, most of us, and that vitality.
And trying to force yourself not to have it because you're trying to live up to a more realistic ideal. Yeah.
It's quite difficult and enervating. It makes peoples collectively tired, you know, and enervated. Cultures to become very, very sort of vapid and empty. But at the same time, of course, we value peace. You know, intensity is all very well until you reach the point where you say, I wish you could stop now, I could do with the rest.
Yeah.
And what I say, what I'm trying to get at it is that there is this profound insight underneath, which presents itself to us as a question about how to live. And it's this. There is a trade-off between peace, so we can bring our children up, you know, in peaceful surroundings, and not have them kind of butchered at the age of two, but for them to live and prosper, on the one hand. And then the other hand, there's part of us that wants adventure and intensity, and to live every moment as though it was the last, and to feel every instant in its absolute weight and fullness. We want and need both of these things.
Yeah.
You know, and of course societies, I mean the Vikings organised a society around the claim that the excitement, that the Dionysian, that the life affirmative was preferable to safety. And yet at the same time there was a part of them hankered after being farmers. Because where they lived on the edge of a Norwegian ford, there wasn't much in the way of farming. They wanted to come to England and colonise East Anglia where you can grow anything. Yeah. The settled life of the farmer versus the life of the adventurer in a boat, setting out on the open sea to God knows where, looking for plunder, raids, fights, political intrigues, sex, orgy and plunder. You know. At the same time, they're supposed to be farmers. And that kind of sums up this tension in the human animal that I'm trying to suggest, that this Toshi TV series presents it to us as this question. But again, it's Socrates' question. How should life be lived?
Yeah.
How should I as an individual live? But how should we as a society live?
Yeah.
All posed in the same question. And there are some very raw and primordial values in that question to be weighed and to be considered. And one is, you know, I want to live every moment and feel every part of my life. Yeah, on the one hand. On the other hand, I want to be a farmer. I want the kids to go to a good school.
Yeah, but and in the midst of being a farmer and doing the doing the washing up, you can still be truly alive and feeling every single moment and feeling the intensity of it even then.
Yeah, I mean, I think there may well be a way, but it's a very subtle way of marrying these two impulses into something even more fucking majestic than either one of them on their own.
Yeah.
You know, but I think it's subtle and tricky. And we have a society that doesn't celebrate it. There might have never been a society that can celebrate that marriage of those opposites. It seems to me that it is possible. But at the moment, we're only tinkering around with it in social terms.
Yeah.
Even though as individuals, there is a few people who kind of get a handle on this.
Well, we call it the extraordinary ordinary, don't we?
Yeah.
And how actually...
I think that's what we're talking about, Mazzy.
Yeah, if you are truly aware of what's going on, and your body and the air around you and the space around you and the sensation of actually standing up and breathing and moving your fingers and all these things actually.
Oh, well, it's enormous.
It can be strangely intense.
When you just
flip your mind round and just really be aware of absolutely everything. Because most of the time we're just blocking it out because we're concentrating on something.
Well, it is tricky. Intensity is tricky for people. I mean, the guy is a character in a Toshi TV series.
Yeah, I know.
You know, you hang out with hippies and they've had some really strung acid and I've miscalculated the dose, you know. And it's 12 hours in and it's still happening. And in fact, it seems to not even have peaked yet. And they're going, fucking hell, it was great, but if it don't stop soon, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah. So, but the reason why, what his, those few things that he said resonated with me.
Yeah.
Is because those are my values too.
Yeah.
And you know what you said about you want the intensity to stop.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I don't really have to try to have the intensity because it just seems to kind of be with me all the time.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, my main problem is trying just to be less excited.
Yeah.
About everything that's just going on around me in an ordinary day.
Yeah. There is that. Anyway, we love Vikings.
Yes, we're looking forward to another episode tonight. It's going to be our Friday night treat. Find out what happens next in Kattegat.
Yes, indeed. I just want to go up at Queen Lagerty, you know. That's it.
Well, she's pretty spectacular.
That's kind of.
And if you're not a follower of the series, that is one of the major selling points, I would think, is it's not just a boys' game. And there's some really excellent female characters in there.
Yeah.
And I really like the way that all that is done.
So that's
quite riveting, but it's not for anybody who is squeamish.
Yeah. And they really love their magic mushrooms, don't they?
Yeah.
Magic mushrooms and throw in a human sacrifice.
Yeah, and just as a little comment there, that one of the theories of what a society values is very much bound up with what drugs the society's taking.
Yeah. Well, they drink a lot.
Yeah.
They like their ale, and they do mushrooms on special occasions for
and not so special occasions.
Orgiastic reasons.
And then they take the mushrooms before going into battle and stuff. Weird stuff like that.
Yeah. And the human sacrifice, which we do know did occur, and it's sacrificial religion is probably the oldest religious form, for reasons and with the rationale that we've sort of elucidated there, I think, slightly. But the interesting thing, the way it's portrayed in Vikings, is that the person to be sacrificed has volunteered to be sacrificed.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a sacrifice. The gods are going to need a sacrifice. And it's no good doing a goat. We need a bit more than a goat. Any volunteers, and the hands would shoot up, you know.
Yeah.
And they'd go and kind of like slit their throats.
And if it was somebody who was considered to be very brave and ripe, as it were.
Yeah.
The sacrifice was considered to be more valuable.
Yeah.
You know, if it was like a great warrior sacrificed himself.
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually very interesting the psychology, logic, and phenomenology of sacrificial religion.
Yeah.
It's just really interesting. And it's something that Nietzsche had quite a bit to say about, or certainly he dropped some hints about that in his accounts of the origins of religions. I say this thing's very, the writers have had a quick skim read of their Nietzsche, I think.
Yeah.
Or maybe not, it's just a quick skim read, you know.
Yeah.
There's a kind of popular Nietzscheanism in there somewhere. Anyway, Toshi TV, long may it live.
Well, one of the things I like about it is that, okay, there's many arguments against the TV and all that sort of stuff. But on the plus side, it does give you an opportunity to, if it's good, you know, if it's good enough for you to really believe that in the characters, you know, to sample a different, sometimes very, very completely different perception of life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a different way, a completely different way of living.
Yeah.
And completely different ideas about life, the universe and everything to
well, that's the
your ones.
That's the beauty of stories.
Yeah.
Stories have a beauty as well as a terrible hypnotising and corrupting effect.
Yeah.
And like a lot of things, they go both ways. But the beauty of stories is that it allows us to imaginatively inhabit all kinds of different circumstances and different modes of being and different emotional conditions and value systems and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
Cool or what?
Even Battlestar Galactica. I kind of loved it because it just threw up so many difficult situations.
Yeah.
That the
ethical dilemmas.
Yeah. That they had to try and negotiate.
Yeah.
And it's pretty stressful to watch. You know, having a terrible time. I'm talking about the latest one.
Mm.
Yeah, not the original. And
the one with 9 million episodes.
Yeah. That I made you watch a few years ago. But it really kind of posed these things, and you think, well, what would I do in that situation? And I think it's quite useful just to play around with imagined scenarios in your mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially when they're presented to you in a realistic way, so you can really sort of feel like you're there.
Well, narratives, stories, at their best, a deeply philosophical thought experiments.
Yeah.
That actually can work on the level of our feelings as well as the level of our calculating capabilities, or our intellect, or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, thought experiments, thought being experiments, even, you know, thought feeling experiments. Not wanting to draw too much of a distinction between thought and feeling. Being experiments.
Yeah. But that's certainly how that's how I experience TV. Yeah. I mean, I don't really watch. Well, we don't have TV, do we? We just like have Netflix and
the internet,
Amazon Prime and stuff like that.
Streaming.
So. Well, can't all the actual TV stuff? We never see any of that. It's bloody awful, anyway. Is it most of it?
Last time I saw.
So the stuff that we watch. I mean, even when we watch like history series. And we watched that Netflix series about castles of Britain and all the history that had gone on in the castles. And that was quite mind-blowing as well, just to put yourself back at that time.
Yeah.
And what that group of people or that society was going through, what they were facing.
Bloody humans, they're always up to something, aren't they?
Always up to something.
They're so kind of mischievous monkeys.
Yeah.
Always up to something.
Yeah.
Always hyperactive.
So, this is, if you're going to kind of really get the most out of TV and box sets and stuff like that, just have a go at that. Really be there, be those characters, inhabit them, so that you can expand your perspectives.
But possibly don't be like the person in Wolverhampton who walks up and down the street dressed as a Star Wars stormtrooper.
Oh, I don't know, I think that'd be fun.
Would you?
Yeah, but that's not me, actually.
Is it you?
Yeah.
But I've been with you when we saw that person.
I know. Well, I did that to put you off the scent.
Did you?
Because I didn't want you to know it was me.
I mean, if you're going to be an Elvis impersonator, at least take some time off, is all I'm saying. Right?
But yeah, Tosh can be useful. Yeah. Can be useful.
Long live Tosh, that's what I say.
Yeah. Anyway, that was just a little bit of a wild card there, just our thoughts as we're ambling through the sunshine today.
It's really warm.
It is really warm.
It's January and it's like spring.
I'm actually just
hey, look, all these catkins are out on this tree.
I know, yeah. I think the world actually thinks it's spring today.
It does, yeah.
Certainly the birds do.
They're doing, yeah. It's been, we've had a few spring-like days. We could very well easily have another early spring like we've had for about the past 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. With the climate going haywire. Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, that about wraps it up. So,
Vikings!
Yeah.
Yay!